October marks domestic violence awareness across this country. All too often we hear about statistics or a sensational story in the news coverage, often with quick responses within the communities, and then sadly it's forgotten. But the reality is domestic violence impacts 1 in 4 women in the U.S., and this is a startling reality we can't ignore. There is a journey that brings all of us here today, and to pay honor and tribute to the inspiration behind this research, I'm going to share my own. This past October marks the 8th anniversary of a very significant loss in my life. In the fall of 2006, I was sitting in a meditation class, waiting for a good friend to arrive. I had talked to her the day before, so when she didn't show up for class that night, I was quite surprised. And what I learned that night was that she had already been missing for 24 hours, and this hadn't been reported to the police. I could never have imagined that 5 months later, her husband would be charged and arrested for her murder. And 4 years later, after an emotional trial, a trial in which I testified, her husband was convicted and sentenced for second-degree murder. Manjeet was 4 months pregnant, and she had a 3-year-old daughter when she was murdered. That year, 3 Sikh women were murdered in the span of several months in my community, and a 4th woman survived a brutal attack and was left permanently disabled. Domestic violence is tragic, senseless, and it's far more prevalent than we think. The objective of this research was to understand the views and perspectives of Sikh religious leaders about domestic violence in the Sikh community, and specifically to gain insight into whether religious leaders identified a role in prevention and possible strategies. In reviewing the available literature, I didn't come across any research that looks at domestic violence from the perspective of the Sikh religious community. Yet there are criticisms voiced about the lack of leadership on the part of Gurdwaras in addressing this issue. These statistics highlight the shocking prevalence of domestic violence. What we know according to Canadian stats is almost half of Canadian women reported physical or sexual violence since the age of 16. And this statistic is comparable to US statistics. There's a general misconception that violence is more prevalent in some communities because of their cultural, their ethnic, or their religious background. Violence does not discriminate, and it occurs in all communities, social class, and at every age. For South Asian women, there are complex issues that increase their vulnerability. These factors may include language barriers, systemic barriers, economic dependence, immigration status, rigid gender roles, social stigma, and that's just to name a few. One of the largest national samples in the U.S. suggests that 30-40% of South Asian women experience some form of violence. And this is consistent with another sample from the Boston area. Within the Sikh community, there is very little research that examines the prevalence. One study, however, noted, and this originates out of Peel, Ontario, in fact, suggested that Sikh women experience high levels of physical, sexual, and psychological violence, 72%. As you may have noticed, I've made a distinction here between South Asian women and Sikh women. And while there's growing research that explores this issue in the South Asian community, there's a noticeable absence of research that looks at the immense diversity of South Asian women, and certainly not Sikh women. But rather, what we see is lumping South Asian and Sikh women into a homogenous group. What is also not contested is violence is underreported. So we don't know what the true incidence of violence is. In recent years, there's growing attention that calls for collaborative strategies and prevention efforts from a community partnership perspective. And religious leaders, faith communities are increasingly becoming drawn into these discussions. And this is evidence in research and action plans nationally, but also in global communities, which look at how religious organizations can be integral partners. And there was one study in the US that examined faith community responses and strategies and noted common characteristics in these faith communities. They include accountability, paying attention to the victim and abuser, collaborating with local resources, delivering sermons and prayers that speak against violence, training and education of religious leaders and clergy, and spiritual issues. design, and then I've included some demographic characteristics. 8 participants were interviewed, 1 participant withdrew. The criteria for the sample was the participants had to be religious leaders in elected positions of president or secretary, as these positions often have considerable power in board committees. The theoretical framework that guided this study is based on an integrated approach on community mobilization, anti-oppressive practice, and intersectionality. And this framework draws attention to collaboration and community strengths, which focus on a shared collective responsibility in addressing violence. And within the Sikh community, domestic violence strategies need to be community-driven rather than imposed onto traditional mainstream approaches, which are often imposed without considering the layers of oppression experienced by women. Moving on to findings. I found the discussions with the leaders to be open, and there was a genuine interest in discussing this issue, and it was a very reflective journey for me. All of the participants acknowledged the prevalence of domestic violence in the Sikh community, to my surprise, and there was no minimizing it. In fact, they suggested it's a significant issue and reflected on how this impacts not just on women, but on children and families. In the study, I used a narrow definition to define violence to include physical violence, threats of violence, and emotional or psychological harm. And really, this was to tease out their understanding of what actually even, how do you define violence, what does that look like? And in speaking about factors that contribute to violence, a majority of the leaders suggested substance abuse was a significant factor that increased the risk of violence, and this is due to continued escalation of marital conflict. So there's a relation there. The second factor considered significant was family dynamics. And under this umbrella, various influences were identified as stressors in relationships, particularly continued conflict arising from gender roles and expectations as contributing factors in domestic violence. And this was particularly noted in the context of immigration and acculturation. So as women move towards relationships that are based on equality, this creates stress on the relationship, and that first-generation Sikh immigrants are more likely to experience these types of conflict. Power and control manifests itself in ways which men control their wives' behaviors and activities, restricting freedoms, inevitably causing stress in a relationship. And it was notable that indirectly participants referred to patriarchy, power and control, gender inequality through examples as contributing factors. But only one participant actually defined violence stemming from gender inequality and referred to it as a mud pradhan samaj. That was the first reference to patriarchy and gender inequality as the root cause for violence against women. The findings in the study also highlight the vulnerability immigrant women face, particularly first-generation women. And this is due to various factors that including social isolation, so women may not have any family in Canada or anyone they can turn to, pressure from the extended family to maintain the marital relationship, increased feelings of stigma, shame, preventing disclosure, and lack of knowledge about Canadian systems. Barriers to disclosure was a third theme, hiding the problem. The participants shared a common belief that women and families are fearful and silent about disclosing violence because of fears of what others are going to say, loki ki gogan, and not wanting to bring shame to the family, posing significant barriers in seeking help. And again, this was experienced by first-generation Sikh women, but also noted that men don't want to lose face and keep silent. The participants expressed strong sentiments that this was wrong and that women and families should be more open and come forward seeking help. In speaking about prevention strategies, all of the leaders agreed that the Sikh religious community, Gurdwaras, play a role in prevention through education of the congregation, seminars and partnerships with the community, and were in favor of domestic violence awareness programs in the Gurdwaras. A majority of the Gurdwara committees had been approached by community service sectors in the past to discuss anti-violence strategies. However, there were no current initiatives in the participants' respective Gurdwaras, with the exception of one that held a week-long seminar on healthy relationships based on scriptures and also participated in a wider community awareness initiative led by their city. All of the leaders recited various holy scriptures that speak to the equality of women in Sikhi. So historical accounts and examples about cultural practices that were oppressive towards women were banished in 60-year rules, including practices such as sati, wearing veils, or bestowing property rights to women, and even remarriage for widows. And in doing so, they supported their position that while women are respected and valued in Sikhi, there's been an erosion of moral values, and that sermons, prayer, meditation, thought, offered valuable lessons which teach and guide Sikhs in ending violence. Leaders also suggested awareness campaigns through education and media, and counseling be made available to women and families. In conclusion, I'd like to offer some thoughts and recommendations of where we can go from here. Keeping in mind this study has only planted a seed and much work has still to come. One significant implication to come out of the study is to acknowledge that participants in the study recognize a role and a responsibility that Gurdwaras play in addressing domestic violence. And challenging conventional approaches has long been argued towards framing domestic violence as a collective responsibility rather than as a family problem between two individuals. And as a community, we have a responsibility in this issue. We need to see our Gurdwara committees mobilize into action and be accountable in these domestic violence initiatives. Roundtable discussions can be a starting point. In the UK, there was a large domestic violence multi-phase project that was coordinated in London. This was very successful, and there were key recommendations that followed for faith communities that participated. There are also other faith communities that are taking the lead and initiatives in this social justice issue. We also need to explore ways of building community partnerships, engaging Gurdwara and Sikh faith-based organizations in active networks, and creating support networks within Gurdwara to support women. And this could potentially minimize barriers for Sikh women who are more vulnerable due to multiple barriers, allowing them to access resources without fear or judgment, and above all, receive supports that will empower and respect women's rights. The Sikh religious community is actively involved already in community development and prevention initiatives. And this is evident through various initiatives that already exist in temples. So in my community, we have diverse commitments and programs, including anti-gang, drug awareness, prenatal programs, senior programs, youth programs. And yet we don't see programs that speak to domestic violence or programs about challenging patriarchy or gender inequality, or relationships that speak about what healthy relationships look like, or parenting programs. And so we need to explore ways to integrate these discussions and programs into everyday messages in Gurdwaras, and not just raise the issue when a woman is murdered or assaulted. Education and raising social consciousness is also imperative, and challenging social cultural beliefs and practices that provide roots and fuel violence against women and patriarchy. So it's imperative to send out messages that neither religion nor culture sanctions violence, but rather the beliefs that men have the right to dominate women and have that right to assert that control and power through violence. And drawing from religious texts is vital in raising our consciousness. It's also vital to look at creative ways of engaging Sikh women into this discussion. Limitations in this study included sampling limitations, which did not allow for the sample to be gender inclusive. All the participants in the study were male, and Sikh temple committees are predominantly male-led. So it's important to have faith dialogue that is gender inclusive, and that's challenging when you consider the noticeable absence of women in positions of power in Gurdwaras. In closing, I'd like to share a scripture that many of the participants cited, and this was the first time I actually heard this scripture. And the leaders impressed that the Sikhism is founded on the principles of gender equality, but that these messages have been eroded. And in my research, I came across informed and passionate Sikh scholars and voices and social activists, some of whom are present here today, and maintained that Sikhism was founded on feminist ideals that celebrated and honored gender equality, tolerance, and social justice, and that it's time to reclaim these ideals. Ideals that speak against gender inequality, power, control, and violence against women.
Thank you very much. Okay, I know the words. Okay. Yeah, I should go and tell your buddies that.